We're continuing on with our series, People of Purpose. And as we talk about being people of purpose, today we're going to be talking about people of purpose pray properly. Now we're going to say it five times real quick, okay? No, we're not. I can't do it. I tried it. We can't do it. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, as we get ready for that. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. That's where we ended last week, and it's where we'll start this week. And as you're turning in your Bibles to 1 Peter, I want us to think about some things. We find that people of purpose generally are focused on what they want, what they are doing, and how to get where they are going. I'm going to say that one more time. People of purpose focus on what they want, what they are doing, and how to get where they are going. Generally, we are good at two out of three of those. Okay? We're pretty good with two out of three of those. Knowing what we want and knowing where we are. We miss out on where we're going and we get distracted sometimes thinking we know what we're doing. And I want to read just a brief story. And I believe I've read it before, but I'm going to read it again because it's a good reminder. Just like we've read Scripture before, but we go back to remind us because we seem to have forgotten. And it says, in 1608, the settlers at Jamestown discovered what they thought was gold. They virtually abandoned any efforts at planting crops, preparing buildings, and readying themselves for winter. If the Indians hadn't fed them, the colonists probably would not have survived even the summer and fall. They sent a ship back to England, which was full of the metal which they labored all spring long to find. But their gold turned out to be iron pyrite. Pyrite. Also known as what? Fool's gold. Man, where'd they get that name from, right? They had been fools. They'd abandoned everything they needed in a quest that would have made no sense, even if their discovery had indeed been real gold. Lives were lost because their priorities were confused. Lives were lost because their priorities were confused. Unfortunately, many today aren't much wiser. Lots of us are similarly are likewise deceived. Make a cartoon out of me. I think they already have one. And we spend our lives in efforts that prove just as fruitless as a colonist's search for gold. Let's make sure our pursuits are not for that which is trivial. And as we look at that story, lives were lost because they lost their priority. Our spiritual lives are often lost because we also lose our priority. You see, we know where we are. We know where we're going, but we don't know how to get to where we want to be. What do we want? We want happiness, peace, and joy. We want money. We'd like marital bliss, success, possessions. If I could just have this stuff in my home. My Lord, if I could just have this home with nothing in it, I'd be happy. No, you won't. You won't be happy in an empty shell any more than you're happy in the empty shell that can be your life and your body. That just came to me, by the way, but very true. What we are doing, nothing, everything, or something in between. In our pursuit, what are we doing? I'm doing nothing. What are you doing? I'm doing everything. I'm working 24/7 for my goal of what? Being dead? Having all this wealth but no time to spend it? Missing your family? You turn around and they're all gone and you wondered what happened? Or something in between, usually so-so effort. Remember that phrase I use every now and then. We want maximum reward for minimum effort. And then, how to get where we're going. This is where we tend to miss the mark. We struggle, and very few of us have a plan for this. other than to just keep moving. While that's good in the wintertime, so you don't just stop in the snow, that's not really a plan to get where you're going, to just keep moving without a plan. An old proverb says, a vision without a plan is just a dream. A plan without a vision is just drudgery. But a vision with a plan can change the world. We have to have a plan. So I want us to think way back in history. Way, way back in history. To last Sunday. Yeah, well, that's a struggle for some. Wait, way back, last Sunday. Ah. Okay, let's think back. We talked about what's leading you to God and what's leading you away from God. Remember, we said what's leading you away from God, you need to empty yourself of those things. What's leading you to God, fill yourself with those things. Be attracted to those things that lead you to God. But those things that are pulling you away. And at the end of service, we took communion. We wrote down on the card, for those of you that weren't here, and those of you that have already forgotten what you did last Sunday, we wrote down on a card what is keeping us away from God. What's separating us? What's pulling us away? And I talked Wednesday night that I really didn't want to discuss completely about what was on those cards, but I will say this as a generalization. The church body is lazy. Guys, that's what you put on your cards. The church body is lazy today. And specifically, this church body, because you were the ones that wrote the card. And the overwhelming amount of stuff written on the card was, the thing that keeps me away and separates me is my own laziness. Read Revelation, it talks about that. Okay? They call you lukewarm. They call you some other things also. And I'm just, again, generalizing the overwhelming theme of what separates you, this particular church body. A lot of times when I say the church, I'm speaking as a church universal. Now I'm speaking as a church prayer of faith. And you wrote on your cards that you are lazy. You probably don't need me to tell you that if I look out and don't see you. I didn't feel like coming. I didn't feel like this. I didn't feel like serving. I'm tired. I'm whatever. Empty yourself of the things leading you away from God. We talked about waiting on God last week. Remember, we talked about the cloud. And said, I don't want to start my day and say, hey, I'm going here, God. Will you follow me? Be with me today. And while I get a lot of times what we mean by that, there's also the thing of looking back and reflecting and saying, wait a minute. God, where are you leading me today? Because I want to be sure I'm with you. You're going this way, I'm going here. You're changing there, I'm now moving. And we're to follow Him. And we'll look at that today. So waiting on God. And then we talked about doing good and not growing weary. That growing weary is the thing that will lead us away from God. And by the way, we're going to have an opportunity at the end of service today to pray over people. And those of you that have had your feelings hurt, I'm going to ask you to get over that today. And I'm going to ask you to get back in service. I'm going to ask you to get back active. I'm going to ask you to forgive those people. Forgive that pastor if it's me or Eric or whoever. Forgive your brother, sister, your family members, whatever it is. Whatever it is. We're going to pray at the end of service that we get over ourselves and we humble ourselves. Oh, takes me to point number 3 from last week, and I'm recapping because it's very important. We humble ourselves. And I really kind of aim the service at putting those things on the altar before God and giving those things to God that hinder us. But as I looked at it and read the scripture that I was covering, it really came down to humbling ourselves before God and one another. Church, it's time we quit acting like we're so strong and we're so great by ourselves. We're all really nothing without Him. Our Wednesday night Bible study, I thought we had great discussion. And it's in a safe place where we can talk about these things and open ourselves up. about things that we're going through and what we feel and the battles we have. So we ended last week in 1 Peter. And I'm going to read what we read last week. And it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5 through 7, is what we read last week. And it says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another." And I know this is working, but I'm going to say that again in case you didn't hear. "Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility." Why? It says, "For God resists the proud." Those of you that are prideful, He resists you. "But gives grace to the humble." He gives grace to you. And when you take your strong self and submit yourself to Him and humble yourself to Him and before others, I guarantee you, He will cover you with grace as you do that act. And you will find people drawn to you that were not drawn to you before, not to mention God, who resists the proud. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." And that's where we ended the service, as we said, cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And that's where we'll pick up today as well. Pastor Eric, could I ask you to do me a favor? Because I feel my voice struggling. Could you please get me a bottle of water? Hope I make it. If I don't, I'm just going to hold up screenshots, okay? And in verse 8 of chapter 5, oh, thank you, my beautiful wife. She got a sip out of it. It's okay, honey. I don't know if y'all saw that, but something happened here. We'll make like it's good. Looks like brand new now. In verse 8 is where we'll start. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Devour. It says, "Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." There's a very real and evil enemy out there. That enemy is lurking about. Those of you that are strong, he's looking for a weakness in you. He's looking for an opportunity to break through. He's looking for opportunity to devour you. Our purpose, as we talk about being and becoming people of purpose, has to include a plan, not only to fight that enemy, but to defeat that enemy. Each and every time we face that enemy. Uh-oh, you're saying we're going to encounter the enemy more than once? Yes. More than once throughout the day, more than once throughout the week, the month, the year. More than once in your relationship with your spouse, your parents, your children. The enemy is lurking out there. That's why we pick up our cross daily. That's why we renew our mind daily and throughout the day. So that we can be focused on that. And our plan, or our purpose, has to include a plan to defeat the enemy. Well, I'll just come out and whip his tail. Yeah, that sounds great. Anyone ever been in a fight thinking that? To find themselves in a crumpled mess on the ground? I usually knew when I was licked, I just ran. But we have to face the enemy in a different way. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, if you would. If you haven't already flipped out of 1 Peter, we're going back to it at the very end. But it's okay if you don't save the spot. 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. We're just going to read 14 and 15. And it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will," according to His will, He hears us. "If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." People of purpose have the will of the Father in their plan. If you're taking notes, write down. People of purpose have the will of the Father in their plan. You see, we know what we want. We know where we are. But we don't always know how to get there. And in that plan, how to get there, we all want to be the explorer. I've got my machete, and I'm just going to forge a path on my own. You see, I am my own person, and I'll go where I want to go, and I'll do what I want to do. Oh, but the Father, He will resist me for my prideful attitude. So I guess I will be going it alone. So people of purpose have the will of the Father in their plan to get where they're going. If we ask according to His will, He hears us. Adrian Rogers said once, "Listen carefully. Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer but that which lies outside the will of God." And I can hear His voice as I heard that. So as I went back to think, "Oh, my Lord, who said that?" I thought of His voice, thought, "I know whose voice that is." I'm going to read it one more time. "Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God." The will of the Father must be in our plan. God's will is our key to proper prayer. Matthew chapter 6 tells us that. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 6. And it's where we learn about the Lord's Prayer. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus is talking. And He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." He tells us, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask of them." And He tells us, "In this manner, therefore, pray." And He gives us the Lord's Prayer that says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." But listen how He follows that up. For if you forgive men in their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive who? You. He will also forgive you if you forgive others. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I think in this thing that he also tells us that we need to pray the will of the Father. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't do these things. So let's flip forward a few chapters or a few books into John chapter 15. Remember, as we pray, we can often pray for the things we want. I mean, how many of you stood around and didn't like where you were in life? Job, marital status, relationships, possessions, finances, health. But your only prayer was really that, throw it up in the wind and see what happens. Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, bless me. Lord, let the scratch off be the big one. Nope. Okay. And they're fairly generic when we pray. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, get me out of this mess. But there's no purpose and there's no plan. There's no, here's my plan to get myself out of this mess that I got myself into. And when I say my plan to get myself out, it's by doing the will of the Father. God, I don't just need to call on you in desperation. Say, Lord, help me out of this mess. God, I need to put on paper a plan to save me. Lord, I need to put on paper a plan of what I'm going to do to be different. Lord, I need to tell somebody about this plan so they can help hold me accountable. And in John chapter 15, I was going to read just a little bit, but I'm going to read more. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. It's a familiar verse to most of us. It is an important verse to all of us, or verses. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why? Why does he prune it? God, why are you doing this to me? That it may bear more fruit. Job, God, why are you doing this to me? You have pruned me to nothing. Job, my son, that you may have and bear more fruit. Have faith in me. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. But listen to this in verse 4. He says, abide in me and I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Adam, could you break it down and tell me what that word abide means? Because it says it 20 times in these few verses. But I don't understand what abide in me and I will abide in you means. To break it down into simple terms, if you will spend time with me, I will spend time with you. If you will live in me, I will live in you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Guys, there's a key. When we abide in him, he abides in us, and we will bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I add in there, you can make a mess out of things without him. But without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Nothing like being cast aside because we didn't spend time with God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Abiding in him must be part of your plan. To grow and have the blessings of the Lord, I don't understand how we think we can do it staying home by not sharing or telling others about him. By not having fellowship with one another. Well, my struggles, Adam, are deep and most people don't understand. I get that, and we may not. We don't have to understand to love you. We don't have to understand what you've been through to just be there with you. And say, I don't know how I can help, but I just want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. Oh Lord, bless them. And then we go on our way. Try and spend time in purposeful prayer. Point number one, the will of the Father must be in your plan. Point number two, abiding in him or spending time with him must be a part of your plan. Now turn over to James chapter 5. And in James chapter 5, verse 7, it talks about our patience and our persevering as Christians. And it says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. We must be patient. Remember last week? Wait. We must be patient until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Remember quite some time ago, we had our message on the farmers in preparing the crops. Well, there's no rain, but I must prepare my crop as though the rain is coming. So when it comes, I will have it ready. And I talked as a church body, being people of purpose and being intentional about what we're doing, we have to prepare our field. And that's when we talked about adding in our Sunday school classes and our connect groups and the different ministries we do, the comfort quilters, the men's breakfast, Ground Zero, the food bank, all these different ministries that we do. They're very purposeful to begin preparing our field. Nothing tickles me more than to walk down the hall after worship practice to the end of the hall and find three little kids there saying, "Hey, Pastor Eric," to which I said, "I'm Adam." Every time for the last month they've called me Pastor Eric, I just say, "I'm Pastor Adam." But that tickles me also. But then to hear him say, "We're just waiting for our Sunday school teacher." Oh, amen to that. We're preparing the field as we again as a church body watch our youngest ones grow and become young adults, become teenagers and young adults. And then get married. And then bring their children here. Wow. Man, that is a good crop. We have to prepare the field. Be patient, establish your hearts, for the Lord, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. For indeed we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. Let your yes be a yes and your no be a no, lest you fall into judgment. Now, this is a point I want to talk about, but I wanted to start it with, let us be patient until the coming of the Lord. Is anyone among you suffering? Church body, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Begin with praying for yourself. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. My Lord, when we just finished that last song with just your voices, I don't know what it did for you, but for me, it filled me. It filled me to hear your voices being lifted up. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Many times in the past, we've looked at things that Jesus Christ has done. And he said, oh, whoa, whoa, this isn't for you. It's not for you and it's not for you. This is for me and this is for my benefit. And then other times he said, this isn't for me and it's not for you, but this is for him or her and this is for their benefit. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This is for your benefit. We talked in Galatians the other day, in Galatians 6, and you don't have to turn there. We just talked about Galatians 6, 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But it also goes on in verse 5 and says, for each one shall bear his own load. And we talked about loads versus burdens. And I want to share one more story with you about burdens and loads. And it says, in West Africa, as a child learns to walk, an empty container is placed on their head, and they are told to walk to the river and fill it with water and return. They usually bring it back empty many times before they can bring it back full. Then they graduate to bigger containers. One woman became so proficient at this, she was like a human delivery truck. Four men would put an engine block on a tray and she'd carry this enormous weight across the town where another group would unload it and take it off. One day she came to her destination, but there wasn't anyone there to help her. She waited as long as possible and then tried to remove it herself. In doing so, she broke her neck and died. Often our weights are also too heavy for us to remove. Remember, there is a greater one than our friends and family who specializes in lifting this load from us. Friends, I'm telling you today that whatever you're carrying, Jesus said, I got this. And whatever you're carrying, if it's too heavy, let others around you pray and assist you and be there for you and help you. The third point, prayer must be a part of your plan. Prayer must be a part of your plan. You cannot have a plan and say, well, I'm going to get here by doing this and doing this. And when it doesn't include prayer, you are going it alone. And you may be successful. But you are successful without God's presence and without His blessings in your life. And you may look at your earthly reward and say, this is great. Look what I have done. On my own. And then we face God and He says, my Lord, look at all this you have done on your own. Now that it went through the fire, it's just a pile of little ashes. Let's go look at your work you've done with me and for me. It's a pretty tiny pile there. See, we face Him and our work here on earth. And in the end, that's who and what we answer to. Not for what we've done here. We want to leave a good legacy here. But our journey is all about that end result. We're going to pray here in just a minute. And it says, is anyone among you suffering? And we talked about humbling ourselves. Talked about humbling ourselves and coming before one another and coming before God. This isn't to draw attention to anyone. This isn't for anyone to say, oh, I've got to name my trouble. No. What we're going to do is open up this front area here, the steps, wherever you're comfortable coming up here. And the elders of the church, Jan, if you wouldn't mind as well, the elders of the church are going to come up here and be available to pray for you and anoint you with oil. And we're going to pray. This is for the health. This is for other healing as well. But specifically, I want to pray for those that have health needs right now. So let's bow our heads and then we'll open up the altars in just a moment. Heavenly Father, today as our elders come forward to pray, we ask, Holy Spirit, for your presence to be powerful and mighty in this place during this time. This is no show for us. This is no show for you. This is opportunity for you to work and move in our lives, as witnesses, as those receiving the blessing, the healing. Lord, we ask you to move today in a powerful way. Lord, we open the altars right now for healing, specifically for health, but for other healing as well. If you have healing right now that you need, we ask that you come forward at this time to receive that. We're going to open the altar, and please do not wait. Yes. And if you feel led to pray over someone, we ask you to come forward for that as well.
I saw this church. It was obviously this church. And there was nothing but desert all around. Cactus, and it looked like maybe the pictures of the Sahara that I've seen. Dry, dry, dry. But underneath this church, there was a river that looked like the Colorado. And pictures that I've seen, mighty and rushing and roaring, that just took out chunks of land from on both sides of that river. Huge river. And I saw the river underneath us rising up. And it began to drench our feet, the feet of this the people of prayer faith, drench our feet. And then it continued to rise, and it rose all the way up to the very top of the ceiling. We have such a high ceiling, and it was drenching, and it was coming out the windows and the doors of this church, flowing out into this dry area. And the people that were, I saw people, all kinds of people, tons of people, coming with little tiny buckets, because they did not either think they were worthy, or they were not sure of this water, but they were so thirsty, so incredibly thirsty, that they were willing to take any kind of a chance to get a drink from what they saw flowing out of this place. And I saw them come to this place with their little tiny bucket, and they began filling that little tiny bucket with the water that came from here, and pretty soon they threw their buckets off to the side, and they were willing to wade in because they saw and they felt the goodness of the Lord here and the incredible taste of the living water that God has provided us. We, too, are His living water. That water comes out of our hands. It comes out of our feet. It gushes out of us. We are totally drenched because we are part of His kingdom's work here. And it behooves us to remember that that water is not meant to be stagnant. When we do not do anything, when we forget that we have an assignment every day to the people of this world in a very, very dry land, we dam it up. And do you know what a dammed up, like a beaver pond looks like? The water becomes stagnant. It gets filled with all kinds of parasites. It begins filled with all kinds of mosquitoes and nasty things and really not very drinkable. But the water of God is always pure and full and ready to minister. We must be His hands and feet. We must recognize the drenching of His Spirit and pour it out on anyone that He gives us contact with. And look for our assignments, because that water cannot be stagnant. We live in the end times. If you do not hear the rattling of swords in the Spirit, then you better start listening. We live in the last times. And we've got to save as many as we can at this time period. Thank you, Lord, that this people are listening and that you are hearing what the Lord is telling you right now.
Amen. Amen. We don't want to, you to think that we're going away. If you want to come up here for prayer still, we open that up. We don't want to be here forever, but we do want to be here as long as you guys need for us to be here. Again, we talked earlier about those that have been offended by the church, by people in the church, by the pastor possibly, whatever it is. Financial issues, marital issues, family struggles, health, maybe school, maybe friends, maybe your worship with Christ. I don't want you to think, oh Lord, they're getting ready to end. We're not. We're open as long as you need us to be. We're here for you, church. You know, with Mark's permission to pass on, previously Mark's permission to pass on what he's going through, he has a very important doctor visit in a week down in Houston. And I ask as a church body that you continue to pray for him and Jan and lift them up. We've talked before about the cancer that Mark has, pancreatic cancer. And if you're familiar with that, that's a big one. But we feel confident, and the doctors feel confident in what they've found and what they've seen. And we feel confident in praying for you, Mark. We have lifted you and Jan up. But I want you as a church body to lift Mark and Jan up as they go through this journey and this travel. We pray for great results, miraculous recovery. And we've prayed that the doctors and nurses in charge of his care, both here and there, have supernatural insight into what's going on and can heal that. Mark's got an amazing testimony of things that he's been through when they've told him, you're done. I don't know if that's stubbornness or the fight or whatever it is. But I think you know and I know that it's God in your life, and you know that and you've acknowledged that. And so we want to continue as a church body to lift Mark and Jan up. Others of you are facing health issues as well, and we want to lift you up as well. And we have done that for those that we know. We can't pray for you if we don't know about what you're going through, though. So let us know. Let Pastor Eric and I know. Let Jan know. But pray for yourself as well. You know, I hear Philip down here saying, by his stripes you are healed. And I prayed over that this morning. And remember in the beginning I said, we face a very real and powerful enemy. And we have to be prepared to beat and to fight that enemy every time we face that enemy in the right way and in the right manner. And as a church body, we do that when we come together, when we pray for one another. Those of you that are hurting, we pray for you. Those of you that are lonely, we pray for you. Those of you going through struggles, we pray for you. And I pray specifically what we've talked about the last couple weeks as well, that the things you go through, that they would be for the furtherance of the gospel in your testimony, just as it is with Mark, the things that he's been through. And he says, but I know God has pulled me through each one of those, and God is the one to give the glory to. So if we can remain in an attitude of prayer for just a little bit longer, church, do good and do not grow weary. And I know some are saying, I'm hungry, it's been a while, it's hot, it's cold, it's whatever, it's too bright, it's too dark. Just be with us in an attitude of prayer, if you would, as we lift these up that are at the altar right now. And those of you that may not have come forward, we continue to lift you up as well. And we can pray generally for you, and we can pray for your family members. So let's remain in an attitude of prayer for just another minute or two. Holy Spirit, move in this place at this time. Move in this place right now as we wait. We wait on you. Heavenly Father, help us to be people of purpose. When we pray, that we pray the Father's will in our lives. When we go throughout the days, that we abide in you. And that we do pray, that we do take time to pray. As your word says, where we began today in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5:10, you say, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, it says, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And he ended that by saying, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And today, Lord, we ask that the things that we go through, whatever struggle or battle we go through, whatever age we are as we go through that, that you would lift us up. That we would see hope. Lord, that we get past our laziness to serve you and to serve one another. Help keep our priorities straight so that we do not die. Lord, help revive us and renew us in our spiritual journey where we have grown weary, our senses dulled, bored with the journey. Help renew us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.